Topic of tonight's shiur is what happens when the Nachri that you sell the chametz to converts on Chol HaMoed. Apparently this happened at least once in history. I thank Rabbi Josh Flug for bringing this to my attention. In the Sefer Mishpat and Mechira, Rabbi Avadya Seif Toledano, beautiful Sefer Mechira's chametz that we've quoted many times before, he quotes the Mar Mekomos on this topic. So it seems like there was a Maisa Shahaya, or at least the fact that there were two chuvas at the same time in the 1860s to 1870s. It sounds like there was such a Maisa Shahaya. And then there's another tshuva from the early 20th century. So not clear if that also reflected a Maisa Shahaya or just the theory. But apparently this happened once, that there was a Mechiras Chametz that was done to the Nachri before Pesach, and then that person converted on Chol HaMoed. So that's highly unlikely to happen for many reasons. Apparently it happened once. Rabbi Flutz Aro just was that the two tshuvas that we're going to quote from the mid-19th century were both written to the Rav of a Romanian town of Yass. And apparently that town of Yass was also the location where there was a controversy as to the propriety of a communal Mechiras Chametz as opposed to an individual Mechiras Chametz. Nowadays, the pretty much universal practice is that Mechiras Chametz is done on a communal level by a rabbi who knows what he's doing. But apparently there are communities where that wasn't the case, and people would just arrange their own Mechiras Chametz privately with whatever guy they wanted to sell the Chametz to. So in a situation like that, it's more likely or possible that you could have a mess up or something like this, where you don't realize that the person you signed the Chametz to is actually going to convert next week. But apparently, it sounds like it happened at least once. And the issues that are raised in these tshuvas are twofold. Number one, if this actually happened, that you sold the Chametz to the guy before Pesach, and then he converts on Chol HaMoed. So number one, does that Gerish and this guy are now violated by your Abayim? Say when Pesach began, he was a happy non-Jew. And now that he converts, he suddenly is in possession of chametz that he hasn't divested himself of prior to the conversion. So is he now automatically in violation of Bayira and Bayimatzeh? And question number two, what's the status of this chametz as far as chametz of Lava Pesach, meaning the Jew sold it to him, or the Jew sold it to him with the understanding that the Nachri will own it over Pesach, and then the worst thing they get after Pesach to get it back. Lo and behold, this guy converts. So what does that do for the ability of the Jews to take it back, buy it back after Pesach, and is that a violation of Chametz She'aver Alav HaPesach? So one of the tshuvas that address this is tshuvas Oryan Tlisai, or Rav Moshe Ta'omim, who from the tshuva sounds like he refers to the Nesivas as his grandfather. So it sounds like he was a grandson, either a grandson or great-grandson, it makes sense, a grandson, of the Nesivas. So in the tshuvas Oryan Tlisai, he points out that as an initial reaction, you would assume as a Davar Pashut that this is a issue of Bayir Abayim, say meaning the Nachri now converts and he's automatically, immediately in possession of Chametz. Isn't that a violation of Bayir Abayim, say? And then he'd be obligated to burn all the Chametz right away because it's his. And if Yisrael owns Chametz and he finds them Pesach, he has to burn it. So he points out in the tshuva that no one's asking him this on Pesach. The question, as it was posed, was after Pesach as far as Chametz She'aver Alav Pesach. But in theory, Muskel Rishon, he says that the Gerish and his guy would have to burn the Chametz. However, then he points out maybe that's not so pashut. So it's not clear from the tshuva what the normal practice was in his time and his place as far as what kinyanim were affected between the Yisrael and the Nachri for Mechiras Chametz. Nowadays, our practice is to do multiple kinyanim because just about every kinyan is tali b'safek, whether that's effective for a non-Jew. But especially if we're talking about a private Mechiras Chametz, it's not clear what kinyanim were affected. So he writes that generally speaking, the practice was not that the Nachri would take the Chametz that he buys to his house. The Nachri would, the Chametz would remain in the house of the Yisrael over Pesach. So there's no kinyan meshicha. It's not that the Nachri is taking the chametz into his possession. So the kinyan of record, he says, would be a kinyan agav. Kinyan agav karka. Kinyan agav karka means that you're acquiring a piece of land, and then you can acquire metatzel and agav karka. You can acquire other movables by dint of the land that you're requiring, so that you are acquiring. So if that's the case, that the kinyan of record here is a kinyan agav. So number one, Kinyan Agav is only a Kinyan Derabanan. So for starters, even before we get to the Shaila of Gershon Iskayer, how is a Kinyan Derabanan effective on a Deraisa level? How is Kinyan Derabanan going to help you to now avoid a problem of being over by Rabbi Yamatzi over Pesach Min HaTorah? So he points out, he quotes it from the Nesivos, but the Chazon Sofer has this in Tshuva as well. Tshuva's Chazon Sofer, Chelek Aleph, Arachayim, Simin, Kuf, Yud Zayin. So he references Machlokas Rishonim, whether Kinyan Agav is in fact a Kinyan Derabanan or a Kinyan Deraisa, irrespective of the Nachri context. In general, is it a Kinyan Deraisa or Kinyan Derabanan? He points out that is a Machlokas Rishonim. And then he says, even if you assume that Kinyan Agav is only effective midirabanan, but maybe when it comes to Mechiras Chametz, it's going to work min ha-Torah. Why is that? It says the Chazon Sofer darei. Tama so rim kinyan derabanan lo yoel kedushin deraisa v'chadome. So why do we say that a kinyan derabanan lo mahani l'deraisa, that a kinyan derabanan can't be effective to impact halachos that are deraisa? That's because hefker bezdin hefker eino elo lafkiro miyad hamakna v'lo laknoso lahakona. So when you have a kinyan derabanan, the mechanism through which a kinyan derabanan is effective is through hefker bezdin hefker. The rabbanan have the right to regulate commerce, they can regulate transactions, and they can say that even though min ha-Torah, this isn't an effective kinyan, it works midirabanan because hefker bezdin hefker. But hefker bezdin hefker may only be effective to remove the object from the possession of Reuven, but not necessarily to bestow it upon Shimon. So if you want to affect kedushin with something that you only acquired with a kinyan derabanan, so that isn't necessarily yours to be able to then be mekadesh and isha with it. However, he says in Cain, b'chametz sagilan behefker v'lo tzarach yoser. However, when it comes to chametz, the only real necessity, the objective of mechiras chametz is to remove it from the rishus Yisrael. So even if it doesn't actually make it to the rishus hanachri, that's good enough to remove the concern of so the Chazon Sofer says, Hefker Bezdin Hefker itself works min ha-Torah. So for Mechiras Chametz, all you need is to remove it from the Rishus of the Yisrael, even a Kinyan Derabanan should be effective. So that question the Chazon Sofer alludes to over here, whether Hefker Bezdin Hefker is only enough to be Mafkia from one party, or does it even work to put it into the possession of another party? So that's the machlokas we shown him, partially emerging from the sugya in Gittin Lamed Vav Amud Beis, which is the sugya, the Shmaisa, the sugya of record when it comes to Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. That's the machlokas, let's say, Rashba and Rabbeinu Yonah in that sugya over there. But the Marshal and other Achronim famously point out that this question, whether Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker is only Mafkiya Maman or could it be Makdet to someone else, may be dependent on the two sources the Gemara quotes for Hefker Bezdin Hefker. The Gemara in Gittin Lamed Vav quotes from Rabbi Yitzchak, Hefker Bezdin Hefker is based on the pasuk in Ezra. V'chol asher yelo yavo l'shoshes hayamim katzas asurim v'atzakeinim yacharam kol b'chusho v'hu yibadel mikal ha-gola. That whoever doesn't come when called to the gathering, we will remove from his possession all of his property and he will be excommunicated. And Rabbi Lazar quotes the pasuk in Yeshua, Elo Nachlos, the fact that the leaders of the generation were authorized to allocate the territory in Eretz Yisrael to the respective Shvatim. Ma inyan Rashi meitzel avos lomar lach ma avos manchilin es v'neyem kol ma sheyirtzu af Rashi manchilin ma'am kol ma sheyirtzu. Says the Marshal Yam Shlomo and others, if the source for Hefker Bezdin Hefker is the pasuk in Ezra, all you see from the pasuk in Ezra is that you have the ability to remove property from one party. It doesn't say that you could also give it to someone else. If the source is the Nachlos, so that's bestowing land upon someone else. So that's the source of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. That would indicate that you not only can Hefker Bezdin Hefker be Mafkia, but it could be Machna as well. So back to our story. So back to this Chuvas Orion Tlisa. So he says, based on what he quotes in the Nesivos, what we saw in the Chazon Sofer, if the Kenyan of record when it comes to Mechiras Chametz is a Kenyan Agav, and that's a Kenyan that only works midirabanan, but maybe by Mechiras Chametz, that's all you need. So he says, maybe there's no Bayra Bayamatzeh, because all you did over here is that you removed it from the possession of the Yisrael, but it hasn't fully become in the possession of the Nachri to begin with. And therefore, if on a Torah level, the Nachri hasn't acquired this Chametz, even when he's Misgayer, it doesn't automatically become his, and maybe he's not going to violate Bayra Bayamatzeh. So he says, this is an interesting Svara. He's not willing to rely on it Halach Lamaisa, but he says it's something to consider on at least a theoretical level. Then he raises another interesting question. He says, so this Nachri is converting on Chalamayit, and he knows that the second he converts, he's going to violate Bayra Bayamatzeh, and he has no problem with that. So he doesn't quite say it in this language, but what he's probably getting at, in the Mishmar Mechira, he assumes that he means what he's saying literally, and that's a whole marach about it. But I think what he means is the Gemara Bechoros Lama Nami Beis. Gemara tells us that if you are mitzgayer without a full acceptance of all mitzvos, that's not a good geirus. If a Nachri comes to convert and he's willing to accept the binding nature of 612 mitzvos, but not 613, we don't accept it. Even if he doesn't accept the Din D'Rabbanan, we don't accept him. So I think that's what this Orient Lisa is saying, that if this Nachri is now converting and he's willingly going to violate by Rabbi Yamatzeh, so that casts aspersions on the Geirus to begin with, maybe that's not a halachically valid Geirus because he's doing so with the intention that he's going to violate an Isser right away. Maybe Nisr Deraisa, maybe Nisr Derbanan, even Nisr Derbanan would be a problem if he's violating it right away. Then he says, in all likelihood, if this is a scenario, probably more misabre that the Nachri doesn't realize that he's violating by Rabbi Yamatzeh, in which case he's an ones, he's a muta, he's not doing it b'mezid. And then, so if he's not doesn't realize that he theoretically may be violating by Yira, doesn't cast aspersions on the Geirus. And then he says, as far as Chomish of Lev and Pesach, you can't say that we're going to constant him or the other Yisraelim who gave it to him for Chomish of Lev and Pesach, if he's only violating by Rabbi Yamatzeh because of a tos or an onus. So that's the conclusion of the Tshuva's Orya and Tlisa. The same, around the same time, there's a Tshuva of Machna Chaim, Rav Chaim Sofer Rav in Budapest, who was not related to the Chatzim Sofer, despite the fact that he was a Sofer, that his name was Sofer. So he writes, Simon Lamed Aleph Tshuva's Machna Chaim, that number one, the following interesting cheshbon. According to most Rishonim, maybe not according to the Rambam, but according to most Rishonim, there's an inverse relationship or an opposite relation between what kinyanim are effective for Yisraelim and what kinyanim are effective for Nachrim. That's why when it comes to Bechiras Chametz, we typically do all the kinyanim in the book because we don't know what's really going to work. Everything's talib b'machlokas. So you have that, for example, I just gave you the Marmakam in Hilchos Bechor Behema Tahora, Simin Shin Kav Sefav. If you need to sell an animal before it gives birth to Bechor Behema Tahora to an Achri or a Beshutvas, so Mechaber Ma is Meshicha preferable, is Kinyan Kesef preferable? According to Rov Yishonim, it's either or, but not both. If Kinyan Meshicha works for an Achri, then Kinyan Kesef doesn't. And if Kinyan Kesef works for an Achri, then Kenyan Meshicha doesn't. So says the Tshuvas Machan Achayim, when it comes to a Gerish and Iskayer, forget about Mechiras Chametz, in general, Gerish and Iskayer. So whatever Kenyan he acquired things with when he was a Nachri should not be affected now that he becomes Yisrael. So why do we say that whatever property he owns leading into his Gerus is now going to be Mufka the minute he's Megayer? Because whatever Kenyan worked for an Akum doesn't work for Yisrael. Meaning, if he's living a happy life as a Nachri, he's probably not Machri to do six Kenyanim every time he goes to the supermarket. So maybe whatever Kenyan he did isn't going to carry over when he is Misgayer. So says the Tshuvas Machna Chaim, why is that not the case? The Nifka Akshav a Kenyan Nishar Achavitz Hefker Mimele B'dok. So why do we say that whatever kinyanim be effective b'nachriyus are no longer valid, and all his possessions now become hefker? Forget about chametz. It's everything. V'chi yipal layim kein eichlo not nisgar b'shas shakol akodim v'zochem v'nichzah ger kol zman shu chai zochem v'nichas. We never found such a thing. We never saw anyone say that as soon as the ger goes to the mikvah, then everybody can run to his house when he's at the mikvah and take all his property. No one says that. Nirli ni yastayti imishem ha lo area. Dural Chazal Dim Kane Neakeves Nedive Amim Yachbitsu Lios Me'am Eloke Ke Avraham Ilis Gayer. So maybe there's just a Tikkun Olam consideration that in a Hanami, maybe that should be true. But Chazal realized that if we allow that to happen, then there's going to be a situation where no one's going to want to convert, because then all their property will be taken away. So he says, "Lefizeh kol zeh tikna lachachanim sheisharu lo nechasav." So in general, there's this kind of understanding that we allow him to retain possession of whatever he had before he converts, but that's only if it's to his benefit. Avalam yavali de iser lo tikna chachanim shein isher reshuso. But if it's to his detriment, if by retaining possession he's going to violate an iser, so then Chazal weren't misake in that benefit to the Nachri. And then we go back to what should have been the case, that whatever kinyan he affected b'Nachri Yuso isn't transferable. And then that's mufka from his possession. And he wouldn't violate Bayra Baal Yematze. In the Sefer Mishnah Sager, Rabbi Moshe Klein, the son of Rabbi Moshe Klein, he points out, it's a bit of a hard argument to accept, that number one, so presumably once he's Megayer, there's some kinyan that may still be effective. And even if there's no kinyan that's effective, so I'll make a kinyan now, it'll be a kinyan chaser. It's all in his house. So automatically he should be cutting through kinyan chaser. So it's a little hard to understand that argument of the Machane Chayim. And then the Machane Chayim makes another point. Gerish and Iskayer, Lulei Maisa Geris Hashem Mekabel of Das Yisrael, Lo hayaba al chemso isarana lafkia koach mamono, v'hu nechnas b'maisa legeiros akabel laf tariyak mitzvos, v'besocha mitzvosos shechemso yanifka mikocha v'rushuso, v'yanasa isarana. Hare rega geiros hu higila das v'gam dibur mefurash v'gam maisa mila, etc., that he wants to keep all the mitzvah. So a little bit different than what we saw in the earlier tshuva. But he's saying that if you're Megayer, you're clearly doing so with the intention that you want to keep all the mitzvahs. So isn't that an explicit, if not minimally implicit, gili das, that you have no interest in owning this chametz that you had previously? So if that's the case, ein lecha hefker gadol mizeh. So maybe there's an implicit understanding that the moment that you're Megayer, you're implicitly mafkir any chametz that you are in possession of, so as not to violate by Rabbi Matze, so as not to violate any sir. And then he makes a third argument, which is very mechudishtik, that maybe one only violates by Yira Mina Torah if you could be Mekayim. If it's chametz that you could have been in possession of for the entirety of Pesach, dilma dafka misha yuchal lekayim shivas yamim lo yereev lo yimatzei. So then you could violate by Rabbi Yimatzei. But if you weren't Jewish for the entirety of Pesach, so then maybe you can't violate by Rabbi Yimatzei. So he doesn't really flesh that out. That would be the logical conclusion. So, he can eat the chametz, but he could buy it. Kazan Shehegdil. So maybe the difference, that's he's Asi L'Chal Chiyuva in a Ger. It's not Asi L'Chal Chiyuva. But that's, he makes that suggestion. He doesn't really back it up. And that's very, very mechudishtik. And then finally, there's a tshuva a few decades later, Marash Engel, Simen Nuches, that talks about this also. He has a variation on a theme that we discussed earlier, that maybe Kinyan Derabbanan's will work when it comes to Mechiras Chametz to stop you from violating Ba'ira. Because anyway, if you already did Bittul, so then you've already knocked everything down to potential Derabbanan. So if it's only a Derabbanan anyway, so Kinyan Derabbanan should work. Okay. So those are the various suggestions as to what you could rely on to be matir al chametz of Pesach and Ba'ira in this strange situation if you had a gerush and nisgayer on Pesach. So I'll just wrap up with a few related gerush and nisgayer on Pesach halachos or applications. In the Sefer Mishnah Sager, he talks about the following. Let's say you're doing a mechiras yud gimel, you're going away for all of Pesach. So you're renting your house to a nochri so that you don't have to do a full bedikas chametz on leil bedikas chametz, right? So you're going away, then you rent your house out to a nochri, and that nochri converts in Erev Pesach. So are you now mechuyev in the bedikas chametz that you're trying to get out of? So he points out, anyway, that's a machlokas, whether that mechiras gimel is in fact effective to remove the chiyuv bedika in that case. So what's the argument? That's machlokas achronim. So what's the argument that it is effective to remove the chiyuv bedika? That's what he quotes to the Chasam Sofer, Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, that lemaisa, even though you own the home, but if you're renting it to a guy and the guy has full use of that home while you're away, so then it's considered that whatever chametz there is essentially brishus the socher and not the maskir, because the maskir has no access and there's no Jew that has access. So then that could be mufka from bedikas chametz. It says the Mishnah Sager, but if you rented it to this nachri, and now this nachri is megayer on Erev Pesach, so now there is a Jew that has possession of that property on Erev Pesach. So even though that gershon eskayer was pater from bedikas chametz leil yadali, but now it's in his possession, it's the possession of Israel, Rishus Israel, so that should generate a chiyuv bedikas chametz. That's probably even a less likely scenario than the first one of the Gerush and Iskayer and Chol HaMoed. There's no technical impediment to doing so. There's no malach involved. There's no iser of there's no gzeres merchutzos on Chol HaMoed. I think you'd be hard pressed to find a bezin that's interested in sitting on Chol HaMoed or an Erev Pesach for that matter. But it would work. Yeah. That wasn't a Chol HaMoed, no. Yeah. Right. Well, no, you don't really have that, meaning.
You're
removing yourself from
access,
right.
But in terms of, you know, you would have that.
That's the argument of the Makor Chayim, and those that assume that you still have a chiyuv bedika, because bottom line is still considered Bershuso, it's the Baluso, and therefore Bershuso. Okay. So let's talk about a couple more Gershon Hefgari and Pesach application. So you have the famous machlokas in the Gemara in Pesachim Sadi Gimlam and Aleph. Gershon Hefgari ben Shnei Pesachim, Kadon Shehudu ben Shnei Pesachim, is Chayiv Lasas Pesach Sheni Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Nasan Omer, Kol Shezakuk L'Bishin Zakuk L'Sheni, Kol Shein Zakuk L'Bishin Ein Zakuk L'Sheni, machlokas whether regular with Ne'atzma or not, is Pesach Sheni inextricably linked to Pesach Rishon, or is it a standalone Yontiv? So Rambam Paskins, Perikhes, Halacha Zayin, Korban Pesach, Gershon Hefgari, Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni, is Chayiv Lasas Pesach Sheni. I think Rabbi Sachs spoke one of the Shirim this year, inconsistencies in Shittas Rambam about whether regular with Ne'atzma or not, one of the Masei Shabbos Shirim. But that's the Rambam Pesach locally here in terms of Korban Pesach for a Gershon Hefgari. There's another halacha of note related to Korban Pesach and Ager, and that's the Gemara on Sadi Aleph Amid Beis. Amar Mechlal, the Mechilta has a Havamina that any Ger Shenisgayer should have to bring a Korban Pesach when he's Megayer. But not accepted, but because that's such a Havamina, that there's something about link between Korban Pesach and the Ger Shenisgayer, that somehow the act of converting is a private Pesach, so to speak, for the Ger. But be that as it may, so the Gemara tells us, Sadi Aleph on the Beis, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yochanan, and Osin Chagura Shekula Gerim. You can't have a Chagura, a Korban Pesach, where all the members are Gerim. Why? Shami Yadaktiku Bo V'Yiviu Lidei Psal. Maybe they'll be Medaktik, and they'll be maybe Lidei Psal. What's that about? Says Rashi, Mishum She'enan B'nei Torah, Yachmiru Olav Ledaktik, because they're not B'nei Torah, meaning they don't have the background of everyone else and the knowledge base, so they'll end up being more machmir in certain diktukim, v'yafsilu alchina. So every kula has an equal and opposite chumra, so they're going to end up, or every chumra is an equal and opposite kula, so they're going to end up being unduly machmir on a detail that they're going to end up treating Korban Pesach as pasul because there's a lack of yedios, and in reality it's kosher, and they're going to pasul a kosher korban. And the Yerushalmi says, this is what Mishnah Sagera points out, this Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yaakov Rakhav Shem Rabbi Isi, Einosin Chabur Shal Geirim, Mitoch Shein Mekul Kolin, Ein Medaktikin Bo, Behem Bevilin Deib Sol. Not because of their lack of knowledge, but because they're not going to be as careful. Rashi says they're overly careful. Because they're overly careful, they're going to make a mistake in Halacha. And the Yerushalmi is saying that they're less careful, they're less medaktic, and that's going to be maybe Lidei Psal. May reflect the two different trains of thought we've shown him about the name of Reb Chelbo, that Kashin Geirli Sol Kisapachas, is that a praise of the Geirim, or is that criticism of Geirim? So it may reflect those elements as well. And finally, Tshuvas Shevet Alevi Chelik Vav Simon Kuf Yud Zayin. Ger Tzedek, who's a Bechor, L'Aviv Hagoy, does he have to fast Tanis Bechorim? What's a Havamina? So even though Ger Shenisgayer Katan Shenola Dami, but the whole reason for Tanis Bechorim is because of Makas Bechorim. So that was relevant to a Bechor of an Akum. So he says, Mashmos HaPoskim, is that your Pater? However, maybe you should say the following, that had he been in Mitzrayim and decided to be Megayer before Makas Bechoros, he would have been saved. So maybe there, it makes sense that he should be knowing Tanis Bechoros. So he says, Misafek, maybe this is what to talk about, to be knowing Tanis Bechoros, Yochamini Targima. So he raised that question. Maybe even for a Gersh and a Skyer, you would have thought there's no Havim in the world that he should be knowing Tanis Bechoros. He thinks maybe there's what to talk about. Okay, Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Let Mirtzei Hashem reconvene after Pesach. And not Mosai Pesach, the week after.